Gracious God in heaven, we come before you this morning so thankful for this opportunity, Lord, to hear from you. These great people did not come to hear from me. They came to hear from you, dear Lord God. So according to Isaiah, I thank you for a word in season to them that may be weary, Heavenly Father. According to 1 Corinthians, that my teaching and preaching is not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration and manifestation of your spirit and of power. And Father, I promise to give you alone all the praise and you alone all the glory. My desire today, Heavenly Father, is that what we hear, we would mix it with faith, we would bring forth fruit, and that fruit shall remain, and that you be glorified. In Jesus' name, let all who agree with that say,
amen.
Amen. Amen. We have four core values here at New Day: worship, connect, equip, and serve. So please repeat after me. Say, I will worship.
I will worship.
I will connect.
I will connect.
I will be equipped.
I will be equipped.
And I will serve. You know, when we started last year, beginning to plan this year, you guys know I plan my sermons out for the year. And this year is a year of understanding, year of understanding. And the Bible says, without thy getting, to get. Hallelujah. That's Proverbs 4:7. And one of the things that we really get challenged on is understanding ourself. I know you live with yourself, however long you've been alive. And what happens, you become so familiar that there are things you overlook. Now, one of the things that me as a kid growing up, I understood this so clearly. I was 8 years old, and it was so clear to me. I'm sorry, I was seven. I was 7 years old when I understood that to get to heaven, I needed Jesus. It was crystal clear. And I remember it was Reverend Tommy Strange from Kansas City, Kansas, or Missouri, that I forget. And he was ministering, and it was a revival at my dad's church in Shreveport, Louisiana. And at the end, when what we call the altar call, they say the doors of the church are open. I got up, and I went down, and I think the next Sunday, maybe the Sunday after that, I don't remember, I was baptized. But even before I was going to the church, I was taking a bath, and I remember I put soap all on, and I'm getting excited, and I begin to practice. You know, I would dunk myself, you know, just, you know, I knew what was going to happen. But it was clear to me that in order to go to heaven, I needed Jesus. Okay? It was very clear. Now, I carried that all the way to adulthood. And my understanding of Christ was that I was going to heaven. I was going to try to be as good as I could. But I was, that my focus, but my belief, my understanding at that time was I was just going to go to heaven. Now, at that time, too, I just had certain desires that really crept up in me and became preeminent or prominent in me because of the trauma that I'd experienced. And so then I began, and there's parts of the Bible that deal with what I was dealing with, so I latched onto that. I'm going to come back to that in a second. Now, so last Sunday we celebrated Resurrection Sunday. We're all excited. And it's funny because here in America, the Corona pastors and I, we meet first and third Tuesdays. And so we got together, of course, this past Tuesday, and everybody, you know, how was Easter, how you do, you know, and we had talked about it before, and we got different races, different denominations, everybody's, you know, talking it up. And then someone said, you ready for next Sunday? And we all laughed because this is usually, in America, the lowest attended Sunday in church. It's funny. So even when I walked in here, I saw about eight of y'all. It was more on a praise up on the stage than I was sitting here. I'm like, I'm good, Lord. I'm good. I'm good. But we were talking about are we ready for this Sunday, and I chuckled about that, and then we began to talk about what we were ministering on, and I told everybody I'm doing why Jesus returned, you know, and the reason because after he rose from the dead, he had accomplished, I mean, he shed his blood, so we had remission of sin, right? Done deal. He had conquered death. Okay, now we would die physically, but we would live eternally. So job done. So, like, why are you still kicking it here on earth? And so let's read here in Acts 1:3 on your handout. And it says, during the 40 days after his crucifixion, so he stayed here 40 days, stayed down here 40 days, he appeared to the apostles from time to time, and he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. And he talked to them about the kingdom of God. Now, he had to continually to prove to them, I'm alive, I'm alive, I'm alive. Now, the strange thing for me, and again, no criticism on them, but you saw him raised. There was a funeral procession in a city called Nain, And Jesus stopped the procession. A widow, her son had died. And he raised a boy from the dead, the young man. There was another, Jairus, who was a religious leader at the time. His daughter died. And Jesus went to his home, and that daughter raised from the dead. John the Baptist, when he was in prison, he was offended. We have to watch getting offended when things are not going the way we want to. And if it could happen to John the Baptist, it could happen to me. So John the Baptist, who previously said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world," okay, the one who John said, "I must decrease so that he can increase. I'm not worthy to tie his shoes." When Jesus got into the river to be baptized, John is like, no, you need to baptize me. In fact, when John was in his mother's belly and when Mary walked into the room, it says that he leaped in the room and that he was filled with the Spirit from the womb. John is a bad man. Yeah, John had a lot going on. And he's telling everybody, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world," when Jesus was coming. And then here's the one for me. So he baptizes Jesus, and then when Jesus comes up, it says, there was a voice that said, "Behold, my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased." John heard that. But later on, John finds himself in jail, and he tells his disciples, "Go ask Jesus, is he the one, or shall we look for another?" Now, if that could happen to John, it could happen to Tony. It could happen to you. So we look at these disciples that Jesus had. After he rose, he came back. Now, didn't I see Leela? Yeah, hey, Leela. Okay, so Leela's a business consultant. She's a trainer for Union Bank. And I have an organization that my wife and I started called Fresh Start. And so Leela was sitting down working with us on a vision, core values. She was working me. And about 2 hours in, I got stuck in something she was asking me. And Leela, you said, "We're going to circle back." Because, see, I didn't get it the first time, but I needed to get it. So she was going to circle back to make sure that I got it. So Jesus rose from the dead, and he looked around at the fellas. "I got to circle back because y'all don't get it." You're not getting it. Not getting it. He had to circle back. And let's get into this, okay? And one of the reasons that people don't get it, Elder Joyce, Elder Kilman, can you come in? Sandy, can you come in for a moment? Yeah, I got pieces of a puzzle. God is so good. I was driving down Ontario Mills. It was 8:50 when this came to me. So I ran over to Children's Church. I said, "I need some puzzle pieces." And luckily, they obliged. Can you hold up your puzzle pieces, please? This is what we do as individuals. There is something we need, something we desire, something depends on where you are. Remember I said I was traumatized coming up, and it was because we were so poor. My dad was abusive and all that kind of stuff. And yes, he was the pastor, and y'all heard the story, yada, yada, yada. Okay, I've forgiven him. By the time he went home and be with the Lord, we were great. But that was a season when I was not great. And so when I first heard the prosperity gospel, meaning God wants to bless me, increase me, grow me, and the abundant life, for a young man from Compton who had nothing, that sounded appealing. But the thing is that I begin to focus on that aspect and that aspect alone, ignorantly. I didn't realize what I was doing. Remember I said you don't really know yourself? And for many of us, there's one piece of the puzzle, the gospel puzzle, that we just latch on to. We find a church that makes us feel good because they're speaking to our peace. And if you're going to church comfortable, I really got a question. Is that the right church for you? Because when you're comfortable, you're not growing. And when you're growing, you're not comfortable. I remember my son Lavelle especially had growing pains. "My legs, Dad, my legs." And we're like, "Son, you're getting taller." And it's uncomfortable. And we all got this piece of the puzzle that we just focus on. It has to be this way. And really, it's only that important to you because it's something you've experienced and something you determined. And that determines how you're going to see things. Thank you, guys. Let me prove it to you. Thank you. Give them a hand, please. So next piece of the puzzle. Next scripture. Next scripture. I got puzzle pieces. Next scripture. Luke 24:45 says this, and we're going to get into this in a moment, but this really stands out to me. And this says, this is after Jesus came back, and it says, then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. He was talking about people he had already spent time with. And we think we have it all figured out. Remember, there's no condemnation here. Please, don't anyone hear anything critical. I do my best to sound as encouraging as I can, okay? All right, Luke 24. Let's get into this, okay? Luke 24, we're going to read verses 13 through 49. Luke chapter 24, verse 13 through 49. So in your devices, you're going to swipe, turn, whatever. Okay, you guys ready? Here we go. 13. And this is after Jesus rose from the dead, okay? That same day, two of Jesus' followers, say Jesus' followers. Okay, so these are people that knew him. We're walking to the village of Emmaus, which is 7 miles from Jerusalem. That's like from here, you guys going east to Kaiser, that's on La Sierra. Going north, that's like from here to Eastvale, as the crow flies, okay? And then verse 14, as they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them. But God kept them from recognizing him. Watch this, 17. He asked them, what are you discussing so intently as you walk along? They stopped short, sadness written across their faces. Then one of them, Cleophas, replied, you must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened there the last few days. That was the crucifixion, right? Okay. 19. What things? Jesus asked. The things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth, they said. He was a prophet who did powerful miracles, and he was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all the people. 20, but our leading priest and our religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. Now, here comes the piece of the puzzle, their piece. 21, we had hoped he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. So, we're not free from Roman rule, so Jesus failed. Someone said to me recently, yeah, God failed my mom. God, I didn't want him to fail me. God hasn't failed anybody. You're so focused on your piece of the puzzle that you're not seeing the big picture. And a lot of us, our emphasis is really our personal feelings. I've had people tell me, and some other pastors, especially the females, just not enough single guys at New Day. Mad at you. That's your piece of the puzzle. I need a man. God, I'm going to church. Hook a sister up. You spirit filled? Mm-hmm. Kids have been praying. This is the way we praise him. And you looking over there. Oh, yeah. He know how to praise. Look at him. Yeah. What's that, Lord? Oh, he my husband. And God has something else totally there for you to learn, to grow. And he's not interested, or you find out he's married. Why don't he wear a wedding ring? Hey, I had a lady. Just thought of this one, because I don't wear a wedding ring. I've got a watch on, and soon, watch me. As soon as you ever come by my house, you'll never see this watch on. Thing drives me batty. And in fact, I'm thinking of putting a clock up here. If you get a clock up here, I don't need the watch. I don't like jewelry. Never have. You know, back when gold chains were so popular, like in the 80s, everybody getting, before we used the term bling, my brother. God bless his little wannabe Run DMC self. He just got him some Adidas, and you know, he was young, and he's like, Tony, I'm asking mama for a gold chain. I just, the thought of even having something around my neck, just even thinking about it, irritates me. So I wore that wedding ring. I got it for Jackie. I said, babe, you know, this is driving me crazy. I just don't. But we had a lady come, and she said, and she might come back. Hopefully she does. But she's like, you don't wear a wedding ring. And what happened was her husband was cheating. So that's how she was seeing me through that lens. I ain't cheating. I'm just not, you know. But see, the thing is that you get hung, and then all of a sudden, God calls you here. But all of a sudden, you got that one. I watch people. Watch people. Let's keep going. So these 21, we had hoped. We done lost hope now. We've given up. It didn't go the way we want. It didn't look like we thought it should. One time we didn't do an altar call after service. This one, we were at the school, and a guy came up to me afterwards, and he's like, "Pastor, you didn't do the altar call." I said, "Open the scriptures and show me an altar call." Okay. Thank you. Okay. We had hoped he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. That's what their focus was. And I'm not mad at them. If another government had come and taken over America, I would want America to be free too, and that's how I'd be praying. But you still got to see the big picture. That's why I always tell you guys, ask questions. Yes. Yes. God, what are you doing over here? Where are you working? What's going on? It's so funny because today, Elder Abraham today, he actually ministered at our church at Hope of Christ in Zanine, South Africa. And I saw the pictures, and the place was packed. Thousands, just wow. Oh, them Africans, they'll walk for miles, yeah. Seek the Lord. And for whatever reason, in the southern hemisphere, look at the globe. You look down in South America, Asia, and Africa, the gospel is spreading like a wildfire. I'm hearing miracles. I'm hearing just reports left and right. And in the northern hemisphere, especially here in Europe, I don't know. We voting laws in that are just so, it's about to be a shift. The last shall be first. And see, we look at that. Oh, that's another. Wait, let me get back to mine. We had hoped he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. This all happened 3 days ago. 22. Then some women from our group of his followers were at his tomb early this morning, and they came back with an amazing report. They said his body was missing, and they had seen angels who told them Jesus is alive. And that's what I want you guys to know. He is alive. Yeah, Carrie was singing that song. He's alive. Now watch this. 24, some of our men ran out to see Peter and John being those guys. And sure enough, his body was gone, just as the women had said. Then Jesus said to them, "You foolish people." Now, the word foolish, it doesn't have the same connotation as we have it now. But it is foolish in Greek means you unwise, non-understanding people. So he was telling guys that followed him, "You're non-understanding." And when I read something like this, I take it seriously. What is it I don't understand? And I notice something. As I keep reading the same passages over and over and over, same books over and over and over, same chapters over, it's like, oh, I never saw that before. You get the context, and you begin to just play with it. And it begins to minister to you. He said, "You foolish people, you unwise, non-understanding people, watch this. You find it so hard to believe." Why do we find it so hard to believe? What's blocking you? What's hindering you? What's getting in the way? You find it so hard to believe all that the prophets wrote in the scriptures. Now, he's talking about the Old Testament. They didn't have the New Testament, okay? Let me have that pit photo, please. This is hilarious. Young lady, and she obviously has 2 years, okay? But she has a third ear. And we all had a third ear also. And it's like that piece of the puzzle. We hear with a filter. We hear what we want to hear. We do. We listen to validate what we already believe to be true. Because see, I'm going to tell you something. This is what happens. Most churches give us information, but there's very little transformation. Most of us don't become transformed. That's why it says, don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And these guys, they had been with Jesus, but they couldn't hear, they didn't understand the scriptures. It was taught in the synagogues every Saturday. They sat and listened, but they weren't hearing. And many of us, because we have this filter, it has to be a certain way. One of our members, she put it on Facebook, so I say it, and I teased her. She says she's trying her best to understand, and figure it out. And I said, you got to be careful because she has an analytical mind. And that's a strength. But if you overextend the strength, it becomes a weakness. Pump your brakes. Slow your roll, and just ask God, what are you doing? What do I fit in this? Because we try to put God in our box, And that's what this young, that's what I choose to make this picture. We try to hear through this filter. And if you can get, if you can get healed, emotionally healed, you will hear so much clearer. Because trying to hear through your pain, it distorts. Even when we talk about forgive, you know, Elder Kelvin here, when he was doing in prayer, he says, forgive. And I'm like, you don't know what they did. I don't need to know. It doesn't matter. He said, forgive. He said, forgive. Forgive. And we struggle with that. Let's look at 26. Wasn't it clearly predicted? This is Jesus speaking. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his glory? In other words, this is in the Bible, what just happened. Old Testament, 27. Then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets. Moses is the first five books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. He walked them through it. But these were people that he had already spent time with. So he had to circle back because they didn't get it. And again, my question is, do I really get it? And I'm encouraging you to ask yourself, do you get it? Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from all the scriptures the things concerning himself. He had to circle back. I am so sorry for you guys that have been divorced, you guys that have been betrayed, you guys that have where your spouses have gotten physical with you, you guys that when things happen to you that's so ungodly, I really am. And even men, you know, it happens to young boys too. Okay, it's wrong. But Jesus said this: I came to heal the brokenhearted. I've mentioned this before. I need another. Minister Tim, can you hand me that box that's under the, can you throw it to me? Throw it. Mm-hmm. Okay. If his arm was broken, he couldn't have done that. You can't throw with a broken arm, right? Right? I'm just running. If you guys on the internet, I'm running. But I couldn't run if my leg was broke. Broken. So how is it you're trying to do life with a broken heart? They couldn't understand. So when your heart gets broken, you guys have a piece of silver and it has all the dross on it. And once you get it all off, think of that as your heart. 28. By this time they were nearing Emmaus and the end of their journey. Jesus acted as if he was going on, but they begged him, stay the night with us since it is getting late. So we went home with him. As they sat down to eat, he took the bread and blessed it. Then he broke it and gave it to them. Suddenly their eyes were open and they recognized him, and at that moment he disappeared. 32. They said to each other, didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us? And I wonder, when's the last time you went to church and your heart burned? Pastor, why are you always praying that we have a spirit of wisdom? Because I want your hearts to burn. I just want to tickle you and you feel good. Some of us just say, oh, it feels good. Feels good. Oh, Pastor Todd was on it today. And within an hour, they were on their way back to Jerusalem. They walked 7 miles back. There they found 11 disciples and others who had gathered with them who said, watch this. The Lord has really risen. He appeared to Peter. That's a whole nother message, okay? So the Lord had appeared to Peter. And everybody's exciting, telling these guys who had already seen Jesus, hey, he appeared. Got it? Okay, we're good. Watch this. 35. Then the two from Emmaus told their story of how Jesus had appeared to them as they were walking along the road and how they had recognized him as he was breaking the bread. And just as they were telling about it, Jesus himself was suddenly standing there among them. Peace be with you, he said. Now look at 37. Again, I'm not mad at them. I can't say anything bad because I don't know how I would have responded myself. But the whole group was startled and frightened, thinking they were seeing a ghost. Now, hold up. Y'all were just all excited, talking about how you had seen him. He shows up, and now you're scared. He's alive. Yeah, he breathed to Peter. Yeah, he was walking with us on the road, and our hearts was burning. Hey, whoa. So we go to church on Sunday, and you're like, I need a word from you, Lord. I need a word. And if someone comes and gives a word, he'd be like, who do you think he is? Or my favorite, that went out with the apostles. Nobody, God ain't speaking like that anymore. I thought you needed, you know, that's a group that believes that, you know, that none of the gifts, not the Holy Spirit doesn't speak anymore. When John, the last apostle, died, that was the end of that. No, there's a group that believes that. A big group called Baptists. I'll leave it alone. I love them. I know we're free friends, and we talk about it, okay? And they get on us, too. You Pentecostals, y'all just run around in church all day. Okay. Fine. Okay. I'm going to record some of our meetings. You'll be amazed how much we tease each other, okay? But we do honor each other and respect one another. We do. But here's the thing. They see him. He's right there. And a lot of you have been asking him to come, and when he shows up, you don't want him. Or he's asking you to do something or move in a direction, asking you to take that piece of the puzzle. That's not the one. Here's the piece I have for you. Right. Think about it. Pastor Tony, why are you always going to them other places to preach? We got issues right here in America. Because Jesus said, go into all the world. Now leave me alone. Because I obey. All right? You can stay if you want to. That's fine. And not everybody's called to go, but then don't criticize me for doing, you know. And look what he says in 38. Why are you frightened, he asks. Why are your hearts filled with doubt? Their hearts had doubt, even though they had seen him. Guys, if that's them, what is it saying about us? Look at my hands, look at my feet. You can see that it's really me. Touch me and make sure that I am not a ghost, because ghosts don't have bodies, as you see that I do. But my body special, it can walk through walls. 40. As he spoke, he showed them his hands and his feet. Still they stood there in disbelief, filled with joy and wonder. Then he asked him, do you have anything to eat? He's like, I'm going to put on some more. I'm going to show you guys something else. Watch, I'm going to eat to prove it to you. 42, they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he ate as they watched. And 44, watch what he did. Then he said, when I was with you before, I told you that everything written about me in the law of Moses and in prophets and in the Psalms must be fulfilled. And often we don't want to really move into the fullness of God because we have preferences. 45, then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. He literally circled back. Jesus had this group of guys who he had been with for 3.5 years, and they didn't get it. They were with Jesus. They walked with Jesus. They camped out with Jesus. Watch Peter get out and walk on water with Jesus, fed 5,000 with Jesus, fed 4,000 another time. Watch Jesus raise people from the dead. Peter, James, and John had a chance to see Jesus transfigure before him and speak with Moses and Elijah, come back down the mountains. They're casting demons out of people, and it's like all of that, and they still struggle. And many of us have never had a hands-on experience like that. So if these guys had that struggle, is it quite possible that we too are struggling? Even with all of our, and especially in this community, my wife and I were having lunch yesterday with a former coworker of hers and her husband. They're about to retire, highly successful people, just their kids are just doing phenomenal things, and we were just sitting in the backyard, beautiful day, just it was great yesterday. And we began to talk about Corona, just this community, because we have different races, different ethnic groups, and you call it demographics, but in reality, you got to look at psychographics. Psychologically, we're the same. We want, you know, nice community. We want nice homes, good value. That's why we all moved out here. That's why. So we're different races, but we got to have the same values. And we begin to talk about how blessed we are. And sometimes that blessing, though, you can easily compare and then begin to compete with others who have just a little bit more. You got 2,100 square feet. They got 31. You got 3 bathrooms. They have 4. And you can feel it, and then your focus began going back to your piece of the puzzle again. Do you know 90-some percent of the world do not have televisions? How many flat screens you guys have? I ain't mad at you. Hey, invite me over again for the, Malik invited me over for the Super Bowl. Hallelujah. I do like sports. Hint, hint, hint. But I want you to look at verse 24-45. He opened their minds to understand the scriptures. That's why I pray that you have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. That's why I emphasize the parable of the sower, that the word of God was sown on four different kinds of ground, and the ground represents your heart, and only one of the four bore fruit. That's why I pray that this is a year of understanding, because I really want transformation, not just information. I've been in school of ministry. I did 2 years. Then I volunteered a third year. And then I have a master's in theology, which takes a whole lot longer than 2 years of school of ministry. And you just ongoing, continuing education. I want you to understand. I want you to have ears to hear. And I want the word of God to be sown on good ground in your hearts. And I'm believing for a 30, 60, and a 100-fold return on what's being sown. Amen? Amen? Bow your heads, please. Amen. Father in heaven, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you, Heavenly Father, because just like with the disciples, you are patient with them. You circle back to minister to them. My prayer, Heavenly Father, is just that you circle back.